Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Securing your destiny. This is a very strategic part of your life. Very important season in your life. Indeed, a great door is open for you. You are doing exploits. God is very happy with you. But you are dealing with human beings. Some are in your life and they are helping you. They celebrate your success and they accelerate your progress. But at the same time, there are others who are there to inhibit you. These people are inhibitors and blockers. People that get angry. And the reason why they are angry is because you are succeeding. If you are oblivious to this fact of the existence of these two kinds of people, your destiny will never be realized. That is why we call it securing your destiny. Because as for God, He's helping you. As for God, He's blessing you. As for God, He is being good to you. But how to secure what God has given to you, you need some amount of toughness. And the thing to watch, strangely, is not only the devil, but human beings. This thing called man or woman can be a blessing. It can also be a very big setback. You go through the airport and you get to security, no matter who you are, they scan you. They take all your goods. May you have enough wisdom to send every human being through security. That anybody who comes through your life, mother or father or uncle or sister or brother or sister, neighbor, Christian brother, Christian sister, pass them through security. I meet people and they're like, oh, he's my Christian brother. And I said, but I saw in the Bible, Cain killed his own blood brother. You are talking about Christian brother. Blood brother kills blood brother. You are talking about Christian brother, which sometimes doesn't mean anything to many people. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says something about the human being. When we deal with spiritual warfare, a lot of times we just talk about the devil. How many of you have seen the devil before? Or principalities and powers. Sometimes a demonic entity or principality can appear before you and it's a human being. But the devil does not float about in clouds. He walks about in human beings. Every human being is the potential habitation of a certain spirit. So the human being always has an occupant. Either the devil or the spirit of God. And they always have agenda. Now somebody say, you make us afraid of all human beings. I'm not saying be afraid of human beings. What I'm saying is that be conscious of the contribution and the effect of human beings on your life. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear or be afraid what man shall do unto me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear or be afraid of what man shall do unto me. That means man can do something to you. If man cannot do anything to you, the Bible will not talk about. Look at Proverbs chapter 29 verse 25. That the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever trusteth in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man brings a snare. That means man has something he can do to you that can bring a snare on your life. The one that really moves me. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. Matthew 10 16. I send you as sheep among wolves. He's sending his disciples. Matthew 10 16. He said, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. I know that sometimes when you are in your company or your business or your family or your church, you love to think that you are among sheep, you are among friends, you are among family. You were coming to civilization. Anytime you are going back home, you are going back home and you think, I'm going to my friends. And I like the way you do it. And you are buying gifts. Because in your mind, you are going to friends. But the Bible is saying, whilst you are going to your friends and you are happy that you are going to your friends, also have a little space in your spirit that some of the people you are going to, they are not sheep and they are not doves, but they are wolves. Have a little space in your mind about that. That the land you are walking on is not all carpet. Some of the lands are minefields. The fact that your intentions are good doesn't mean everybody is sanctified. Am I talking to somebody at all? This level of ignorance has led to the collapse of marriages, businesses, ministries, churches. Your biggest problem in life sometimes is that you think everybody is like you. That is why good people die early. That is why good people don't succeed. That is why when you are too good in the world, your destiny normally is truncated. Because you walk about in that ignorance. You shake everybody's hand. You hug everybody. I'm not saying don't. Somebody say, but are you not the one who has been preaching the love revolution? And you say we should feed our enemies. The Bible says feed your enemy. But it didn't tell you the length of the spoon you should use to feed your enemy. So if somebody is your enemy, the Bible didn't say feed them with your hand. Because if you feed them with your hand, they will suarez the hand. Therefore, if you are feeding your enemy, what do? You look for a long spoon. So that in case he is biting, he will bite the spoon instead of your hand. Give a big clap of to you. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, verse 17, he said, but beware of men. Verse 17, but beware of men. Beware of men. Beware of men. I thought you say, beware of the devil. Beware of principalities and powers. Beware of circumstances. He said, gentlemen, beware of men. For they shall deliver you up to the councils. And they shall whip you or smite you in their synagogues. When I read they shall smite you, I thought they would say they will smite you in shrines. They will smite you in the market. They will smite you in the pit. They will smite you in the prison. They will smite you in the lion's den. He said no, they will smite you in the synagogue. And when they smite you, they will think they are doing service to God. Most of the people who will seek to destroy you and pull you down and destroy your life, most of the time, they think they are fighting for God. Many times they think they are fighting for God. In fact, they will tell you that they are fighting for God. One day, he said, they will deliver you up to the councils. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. And Jesus is speaking because he himself is a victim of these things. Mark chapter 15, verse 10. Mark 15:10. See, this is a serious matter. And I know that around this period, God is going to do something about your life. That we are going to finish this thing and you are going to pray and you are going to seek the face of the Lord and you are going to say, Lord, open my eyes. Amen. Just open my eyes to see. Jesus himself, Mark 15:10, verse 9. But Pilate answered them saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Do you want me to release unto you Jesus? Verse 10. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. He knew that all these things, they said, Jesus said he's the King of the Jews. He said, I will die, put down my life for 3 days, and I will take it up again. He knew that all these things is envy. There are many of the religious things people concoct. You can just see his envy. Oh, these churches rob people of their tithe and offering and enrich themselves. It's just envy. You tell me that people who are dedicated to things like this, they are robbers. They are stealing people's money. You will have people who will ignore all the good you do. Imagine and concoct, conjure up their own things and put them on you. But I pray that God will help somebody to concentrate on your purpose in life. Screen the people that come through your life and make sure that you are committed to your purpose. You are committed to the cause for which God raised you. You are raised at such a time as this for a purpose, and you will not allow people to distract you. But Jesus was delivered up to the council. The Bible said because of envy. And that's why many people cannot break through in life. Why should I allow you, whether you will be angry or happy, to determine what I do with my blessing? I will determine what I do with my own blessing. I will live anyhow I want to live, as long as God gives me the grace. One day the Lord told me, he said, I don't care how people live, as long as they help somebody to survive. So you can live good if only you are helping somebody to survive. But if after helping people to survive, helping people to even live, you are supporting others, you are helping others, you are giving others employment, if somebody decides to concentrate on your life, that is the person's business. From henceforth, don't let any man control you. May you live to make God happy. Glorify God and make yourself happy. Don't let any man bring you under bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The Bible said it, the Son therefore shall set you free. You shall be free indeed. I am almost convinced that when we stop giving, we stop living. When we stop giving, we stop living. Because life is built, and nature itself is built around giving and receiving. Everything in life is giving and receiving. Every one of us sitting here, we are the product of giving and receiving. Our father and mother, they gave egg and a sperm, and they received the baby. If they didn't give, they will not receive. The reason why you can give carbon dioxide out of you is because you take in oxygen. Something is always given to something and receiving from another thing. And those that sow, they reap. Anybody you see who is being blessed, there may be something they are doing others are not doing. There may be a way they are living their life. Others are not living their lives that way. And yet human beings, that reaction of envy is so common. Envy is so common among human beings that it has a lot of notorious descriptions. One of the ways they describe envy is that they say somebody's eyes are green with envy. So those of you that have specialized in keeping people down, all your wisdom is to suppress somebody. All your money is to suppress somebody. You use all your power in life to keep somebody down. You know what will happen to you? You yourself will stay down forever. You will never get up. And that is why we don't achieve much. So envy is called the green-eyed monster. Somebody says envy is the enemy of honor. Envy fights against honor. Or whenever you see they honor somebody and they say, this is the best journalist in town. Somebody says, oh, he's not the best journalist. That is the most beautiful girl in town. Didn't you see her nose? They saw the nose, but the lips overshadowed the nose. There was something bad about the person, but the good part of the person overshadowed the bad part of the person. Another person said, the envious person grows lean at the fatness of their neighbor. That means when an envious person sees somebody is growing fat, they start growing lean. Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster that doth mock the meat it feeds on. That envy is the green-eyed monster that mocks the meat it feeds on. When you come to many of our societies, The meat we feed on is the one we mock. In fact, if you go among a place where witches kill people, the person the witches normally kill is the breadwinner who gets them the food to eat. In fact, witches don't kill hopeless people. Because they know that the hopelessness of the hopeless person will kill him even without the assistance of anybody. Witches are always looking for the useful person. So you go to a family and the breadwinner, the one who is bringing blessing to the whole family, making the whole family go, you know, get blessed. Before you realize, they finish him completely. And then all of them will be poor. I have struggled to understand that thing. But you may say, well, that is among primitive people. But when you come to the civilized part of the world, it happens. The most important people are the ones we attack. For once, can't we reserve our comments and allow people that are doing good things to do them? You know what, people? Every single one of us is contributing something to the existence of humanity. Pastors, sportsmen, entertainers, even comedians, they provide something for humanity. You know, there are times you are very sad. And when they preach, you cannot say hallelujah. But when a good comedian releases something, you can laugh. You only remember after 5 minutes that your problem is still there. Oh, come on, give a big clap of praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. But the green-eyed monster that doth mock the meat it feeds on. The people that help us in life, they are normally the people we attack. Envy is a feeling of discontent or resentment aroused by someone else's possessions, blessings, and qualities. So somebody has some possessions, the person has some blessings, the person has some qualities, and that one arouses discontent and resentment in another person. In other words, that thing about somebody that is making you envious, if it was yours, you'd be happy. Yeah, look at their new car. But if it was yours, look at his house. If it was yours, every day everybody's just praising him, praising him, praising her, praising her. If it was you. So the thing is good if it is on you, but it is bad if it's on another person. May the Lord free you from people. May the Lord free you from what people feel, what they think, their assessments, their analysis. Listen to me, people. Until you are liberated from this thing called the human being, you cannot make impact in life. Envy is devilish and fleshly response to God's goodness in other people's lives. Someone's blessing is supposed to generate joy and thanksgiving to God, but envy mars the beauty of a good thing by producing anger. So we are talking about securing our destiny. And what I'm saying is that the human being can determine to a large extent how you succeed. Your success can either inspire your neighbor to succeed or it can make them perspire. It can inspire them or make them perspire. When you go to Brixton Market and see some people sweating, the reason they are sweating is not the sun. Sometimes the sweat is because of the people they see entering another person's shop instead of their shop. So they see they are just sitting down with their goods, nobody's buying their thing, and another person's shop is receiving this incessant traffic. And they're like, God, what will I do? God, what will I do? And that because sometimes, you know, instead of concentrating on your business, you are thinking about another person's. Most of the time, when we are doing things, we look at another person. How is that person succeeding? What is that person doing and is breaking through? What is this person doing and is breaking through? But you see, in life, you want to come to the place where you just concentrate on your gain. You concentrate on your life, what God has called you to do. So this thing called envy, if you want to walk in love and you ignore the existence of envy, you will be in serious trouble. The thing about envy is that it grows from a small seed into a monstrous destructive force. And it is unsafe for you to ignore it. When you see envy, I'm not saying attack the envious person, but find a way of protecting yourself. you will have to protect yourself from that spirit. Otherwise, it will destroy you. Okay? It is unsafe to ignore it. Envy is a demonic spirit in man's heart. It is not a mere human weakness. That is why you must deal with it with proportionate force. The effects of envy are not minor injuries that can be ignored. Envy is a lethal weapon formed by Satan in a human being's heart to avert God's plan for man. Envy turns man against God. And another thing about envy, it turns a nice person into a beast. When envy enters a nice person, you will be shocked what that person can do. Love and envy are connected. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But I'm interested in the verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody who says he's envy proof is telling you he's not a human being. There is something about when you are not breaking through, but others are breaking through. Before you realize, envy will be creeping in. You are in a family. Others are being blessed and you are not being blessed. Envy. If your business is dying when other people's businesses are succeeding, before you realize, only one verse is important to you. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? So many people who are envious, they find Bible verses. But ladies and gentlemen, poverty and hidden wealth, there's no difference. Some people are poor. Others are blessed, but they are afraid to show that they are blessed. Because they are afraid witches will kill them. Some are afraid they will gossip about them. So the person decides, because of envious people, I will wear only black pair of trousers. But I pray, may God what? Free you from the spirit of envy. That is what it means when he says, and having done all to stand. That means when you have won one battle, another battle will come. Listen, life is full of battle. You are blessed. There is destiny to be fulfilled. Keep your eyes open. I see people that are afraid. People who are afraid to step out there because you have heard too many weird stories. You have seen how people are attacked. Not for doing wrong, but for doing good. And you are saying, I won't do anything with my life. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Sometimes just their criticism, they are talking. The way they look at you has inhibited you. Surprise you, and you are saying, Lord, today I free myself from bondage, I loose myself. And I want everybody begin to pray, Lord, I loose myself from fear, from bondage. We loose ourselves from bondage, we release ourselves from bondage in the name of Jesus. Somebody pray, say this after me. Heavenly Father, I loose myself from the bondage and the fear that comes out of envy. Envy, jealousy, the green-eyed monster shall not stop me from fulfilling my purpose in life. In the name of Jesus, right now, I receive the boldness
to achieve in life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
There are times in life when you realize that the time for something is long overdue. It is supposed to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. I believe that there is a day that is called today. And God will say, this day have I made you. This day have I separated you. This day have I called you. There are some of you, the attacks around you are just too much. Today it is this. Tomorrow is another story. Another day is another thing. And you are saying, God, today I just want to have a test of victory. I have cried too long. I have cried too long. Now, I don't even have the power to weep again. Sometimes it's just human beings to place this blockade on your way. Stop that road. You see something, you think it's a door, but by the time you're going to enter, it's blocked. You are saying, I've fought enough. Father, I receive an anointing to run through the troop. I receive grace to leap over the wall.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.